As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I'm bidding a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday pre-market prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick, Mitch Hott with you this morning. What's on our radar? We got some earnings, we got some ratings, and of course, we can't go a whole show without talking about which stocks are moving thanks to Cathie Wood and or Jim Cramer. Two guests coming on this show today. Our first guest is Mark Chicken. He'll be on at 8:15. And then at 8:35, we have Buck Andrews, the co-founder of Inform. Today's show is also sponsored by Inform. Inform's enterprise news productivity tool is designed to enable you to perform more through stock research by isolating specific headlines that are most impactful to your portfolio. To learn more, go to inform.info. That's inform.info. There's the link on the screen. Let's throw it to Joel now. Joel, update us. How are we doing this morning in the overnight trading session?
Green on the screen once again. Caught a bid really right off that 6 p.m. open. Do I have my screen up for you?
Yeah, we're good.
Share my screen. Okay. And boom. Support 40.75. That's where we're at. Pre-market low, pre-market high 59.75. There's really no levels out there. We had a big breakout in the market yesterday. Crude can't clear 54, but hanging at 53. That's down 19 cents at 53.12. Gold trying to tack on from yesterday's gains. That's up 80 cents at 18.67.10. Silver in the green by 14 cents at 25.905. And Bitcoin down $2,620 at $32,415. Let's zero in on that Bitcoin chart here, Triple D. What are you thinking? Is just
show it to me. I never look at it.
That's the futures right there.
I mean, we've broken trend. It doesn't look pretty. Do I think the story's over, though? So I'm not a Bitcoin trader, full disclosure. I own some. I sold half to take my money out, so I'm completely playing with the house's money forever now. And I'm not planning on becoming a crypto trader. I'm just sticking with it because I think the story is still intact, but those technicals don't look good. So if you're looking to come in and buy it here, I think you got to wait.
Yeah, actually, you got a pretty good level if you're trading the futures. You know, the futures are full margin over there. They don't mess around on this contract. But the day after you made that all-time high, boom, you had a low at 31.05. Today's low 31.260. Let's just call it 30,000. Holds there. I think it breaks trend. Breaks 30. I just don't like the way it looks between 30 and 25. You know. just that lightly traded area. But
well, ran up through it quickly, so it can come down through it quickly. We always say that. So
yep. All right. So what do you
see? I mean, there's nothing really to trade on. It's story and technicals. You know, the story I think is still there. That's why I think eventually it's higher. I stuck this in the long-term retirement account, so I intentionally wouldn't look at it. Like, I literally, you know, I can see, you know, people say it's down 2,000, but that's the first time I've looked at a chart on Bitcoin in a week.
Okay, so, there's some news out, too, and I'm surprised it's down. Spencer, give us the news about BlackRock.
Yeah, BlackRock's getting in. They're allowing, there's one fund, I think one of their mutual funds is adding Bitcoin now. So... this, and that's notable because BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager, or second largest behind them and Vanguard are 1-2. But yeah, let me get the exact fund. The BlackRock, there's two funds. BlackRock Funds 5 and the BlackRock Global Allocation Fund are adding Bitcoin or making Bitcoin eligible for their funds. So I guess that's interesting.
I mean, all of this is, it, you know, the question is for me from a long-term perspective, is there going to be more institutional action coming into this?
You know, there has been.
I know there has been. And do we think that's just going to stop and go away, or do we think that's going to continue? That's really whether you want to be long or short Bitcoin. It's not about, oh, I think we're going to be all transacting in Bitcoin. I don't think anybody is going to be transacting in Bitcoin except, you know, maybe some of the gray markets, but majority of people are not going to Bitcoin. It's not a future, you know, where I know Yusko's been on the show and say, oh, it could replace the financial system. I completely disagree with that. I don't think that's happening. But is there a story here? And we are always talking, you know, is there a story to carry it? There's a great story here. And that's why I want to be part of it. That's why I finally bought at 17,000 because I'm like, you know what? I think the story continues in 2021. And I don't see it going away anytime soon. So with that being said, I want some exposure. Am I dumping, you know, half my money into Bitcoin? Hell no. Am I dumping a little piece of it into it? Yeah. Like I had about 1% of my money, 1% of my net worth into Bitcoin just for fun. You know, Yusko was saying on our show, maybe we should go to 5. I'm too spooked to go to 5 because I think I'm buying just nothing. I'm buying just digits on a screen. But 1%? Sure. You know, we'll take a flyer. If it goes to 0... well, I'm always playing with the house's money, so I can't ever lose as long as I don't add to it.
Right.
So at this point in time, and Joel, I know you did the same back in the day. Maybe that's why you're scared to come back in, because you quickly doubled your money in Bitcoin too, I believe.
Yeah.
Back when it was like 6,000 to 12,000, Joel.
It was actually like it was that one Thanksgiving run on 7. It went from 7 to 20. In a heartbeat. And then when I couldn't sign in the day that it hit 20, I said,
like I couldn't get in. I'm like, I'm done with this. They let you in, but they won't let you out. Roach Motel, we used to call that.
But,
like old NASDAQ. When you traded NASDAQ back in the day, they let you in, they won't let you out. Did you know, fun fact, that because automation had come in and the NASDAQ market makers weren't fast enough, that they put a rule in back in the mid-90s? Just to fight off the automated traders, to fight off the new high frequency traders, that if they had an offer out there, they had if you went, let's say they offered the stock like Microsoft at $50, you could say, okay, I send my order to buy your offer at $50. They had 15 seconds to decide whether they wanted to move it or not after you already said I would take it. Google it. It's true. And I can remember, and we used to call it the Roach Motel because they let you in when they won't let you out. I'm like, I'm lifting the offer. And then, you know, all of a sudden, 15 seconds later, they put you on the bid. And then you go up, I'm lifting the offer, and they put you on the bid 15 seconds later. So you take their offer, you know, all these NASDAQ market makers, and they had that option, the 15 seconds. Do we really want to sell it to you? Was our offer? So they weren't firm off.
15 seconds.
They were doing that to fight off because the automated traders were picking them all off, and they were losing money. Obviously, eventually, it all went automated, and we know the market makers became all automated as well. And now it's, you know, algorithmic market making, but... that's the way it was back then. So we called it Roach Motel. New York Stock Exchange wasn't like that because they had the specialist and it was a different, you know, it was altogether different. But the NASDAQ stocks, they had that option to cancel after you already took their offer. I lifted your offer, buddy. Oh, no, we have 15 seconds to change our mind. It was crazy back in the late 90s.
The SOS bandits.
That's what they were calling. Yeah. Well, that's what they were trying, you know, and that's a different thing altogether. Like that was people trying to lift offers, you know, and put out and you know, we don't want to get into all the, you know, technical stuff from back then, but you can Google that too. And they were complaining. The market makers were all complaining about that too. Algorithmic traders were just smarter. That was the bottom line. And we know algorithmic traders eventually took over the market. So they tried to stop them. but they couldn't stop him.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat the story of when that one trader in our office actually pulled down the NASDAQ, and we got that call from Eddie, because on the one stock, he was sending so many orders and canceling them so fast that NASDAQ called Bright, and then they're like, is there a guy in your office trading Intel? He goes, well, he's totally screwing up the Intel feed.
Too many orders. They couldn't handle it.
Because the cancels were...
This is back late 90s.
Yeah. But anyways, let's...
We have a lot of algorithmic. Like, I did algorithmic trading back then, too. I've done years of algorithmic trading, and it was it's different, you know? Like, obviously now it's a lot more competitive and stuff, but I mean, algorithmic trading back in the late 90s, early 2000s, It was good money because you're fast. So now, you know, you're competing against all the other speed, and it became a speed race. And it's funny. I went full circle. I went from manual to algorithmic and back to manual because I find that, you know, and I still do some algorithmic trading, but it's not my bread and butter anymore for the simple reason is that I can't compete with, you know, the high speed traders because it's, you know, it's all about latency and obviously became, you know, money, you know, all dependent on how much money you can put into your systems. So people spend tens of millions of dollars to try to pick up a millisecond. So hard to play in that, you know, race unless you have tens of millions of dollars at your disposal.
Oh, just one final thing on Bitcoin. You know when we get it blasting off?
Why?
When? If Kathy Wood bought some.
That would probably work. Kathy's went away from the equities here. Let's talk the Bitcoin stock, so, because let's be honest here. Riot, Mara, BTBT... MSTR, a lot of these have completely imploded. You know, a lot of these are down 50% from where they were 2 weeks ago. Like BTBT, it got up to $33. It's 16. Riot, RIOT, got up to 29. It's 19. So a nice 35% haircut in 4 days. Mara, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword here. 28.37, it's 17. So these things are down 40 to 50% in the last week and a half. Is there an opportunity here, Joel? Talk to me. Like Mara 15, where it broke out?
That's what I said yesterday. Yeah. Yeah.
Could that come down there? Would you be a buyer? I mean, you're buying, like, you know, I don't know what the quality of the companies you're buying here, but there's still a story there.
You know what? The thing is that you know, on the next run up, there's going to be people scratching their head at 20, you know, and 21, and 21 and a half, and 22, and like, what the hell did I do? So I think I would do it for a shorter term trade, but we just talk about the overhead supply, and that's what you know. I don't know. Should I get rid of that breakout there? Or we'll see. You know, I'm going to leave that because that was the 3-year high. So let's see if it comes down and see if that old resistance and new support. We obviously can see the way Bitcoin, you know, I wouldn't want to be in any of these stocks if Bitcoin, you know, breaches that double bottom at 31,000 either. Because there's not, I mean, just have to.
Well, that's it. These stocks have fallen 40-50% with, you know, not as extreme fall in Bitcoin. So we know these are obviously levered plays against it, really. You know, they were rising 1,000% when Bitcoin was doubling. So they're going to, you know, that's the way this game works. If it's going up, it's awesome when you're in these levered plays. And, you know, obviously, they're trading levered because they're moving exponentially compared to Bitcoin, right? Going from 5 to 30. So, but you know, if you want to come and take a flyer on something like BTBT, $15, you got a little out there. If you think this is it, I don't know if this is the bottom, but 1672 down to 1610. 1470 was the low of the move 2 days ago. I mean, it's given back half of the gains. It did go from 5 to 30, so you're now through, I think, the 50% retracement, which is a little bit concerning because we like to see them bounce at the 50% retracement. But, I mean, it's dependent on what Bitcoin's going to do. If you think Bitcoin's going down further, these plays are probably falling further as well. One that hasn't fallen as far is MicroStrategy, MSTR. I mean, I say that, and it's down $30 today. But, you know, this stock went from, you know, basically 300 up to 600. A lot of them are down 40%. This one's only sitting down like 15, 20%. So it hasn't fallen nearly as far. I don't know which ones, and like I said, I don't really trade these things other than day trading them the odd time, but I kind of like the BTBT 15.
I just looked at that, and that looked like the most, like
sensible
the most
level.
Yeah, sensible level. But anyways, do we want to go over the Kathy Wood buys real quickly, or
sure.
Skip that
she
today?
She bought 1, 2, 3, I write them all down, 5, 10, she bought 13 stocks yesterday. The small ones are the ones that move. So, and she's bought this one before, OPEN. She bought this one a couple days ago. ACCD, she also has bought before. Most of these she's bought before. And they tend to, once she's bought them already once, they tend to not get as big of a move as, you know, the first time when she's buying them for the first time. Was there any, like, new moves? EXPC she had bought a couple of weeks ago. I think this is probably the biggest mover. And then people have forgot about it and started to leak down. Well, she bought more yesterday. And she pops it right back up to the highs. Like, it looks like it was ready to break down. But the Cathie Wood pop brings it right back up to new highs again. I'd be cautious chasing some of these moves just on these ones. Because, one, you start to see some of these small little Momo plays not doing that well yesterday. It was definitely some rotation going from back into the mega caps. We saw that with Amazon being up $170. So, you know, and Amazon up here again this morning. So we're seeing, and you know, stocks like Jamaya, which I actually put a short on yesterday. I covered it, you know, but I shorted it when it was trading up because you could see that early rotation happening. I'm just somewhat cautious on some of the smaller plays right now. Those small little story stocks. They're just a little cool off period to me.
Nothing major.
Yeah, maybe a little cooling off. I sold a half my BlackBerry yesterday into the pop.
We talked about this, Dennis. We talked about selling.
I'm supposed to hold the forever. You're not supposed to sell anything.
No,
take the sell button and rip it off your keyboard.
All right.
I sold a whole bunch of stuff.
And replace it with
I'm actually sitting with a little bit of cash. I was fully invested, but I'm just a little spooked. Fully in those, but some of these small little Momo plays, I locked in some of the money.
Right. I'm bringing Mark Chaykin on. Mark,
talk some sense into me.
Tell Dennis never Stop sell knowing. Anything ever.
You mean it's a bull market?
Never sell. Never Every sell. Time you sell, 3 days later, you pound your head against the desk. Why did I sell?
You know what the peacock said in Jesse Livermore's book? If I sell, I'll lose my position.
I didn't know that, actually. That's great.
This is an interesting market. I think the whole Cathie Wood thing is not going to end well. I've been in the business 50 years. I've seen all the gunslinger money managers who had this unbelievable track record, and everybody piggybacked them, from Jerry Tsai to Peter Lynch to you name it,
the more
modern names. It never ends well.
It's right. Such a unique way that she does it, other than, you know, because everybody else, you know, you wait for your 45 days to see what they bought. She publishes every single day her trades, and you just wonder, like, I mean, it's kind of smart by her, because she knows she buys a stock, I'll publish a trade, and the stock will go up 5% because I bought the stock. You're getting an immediate pop just because she's Cathie Wood. I mean, I look at the stock she bought yesterday, and she's bought some of these before, and they're still getting pop. OPEN up 4%. ACCD up 2.5%. Bristol Myers go up as much, but it's up too. You know, it is up. It's a thicker stock. But then there's some smaller ones like EXPC up 11%. She'd already bought this one once, and it's getting another 11% pop just because she bought more yesterday. I mean, you know, this TXG she's been buying every day, and it's a thinner one. It moves around. But, you know, the newer one that we hadn't seen for a while, and PCAR. She hadn't bought PCAR. It's just a big company, Packer. And it's trading up 4-5% here this morning because Cathie Wood took a position in it yesterday in an awful candle. The stock was going, you know, straight down all day. Cathie bought the dip, and boom, it's right back up here again. I mean, it is just market people just following. And I'm doing it to a certain extent too. You know, like I did in CRM yesterday because CRM was, you know, been in the gutter. And I was like, oh, Cathie Wood just gave it a vote of confidence. It might continue. I mean, it's tough to fade her.
I think of Cathie Wood as one giant message board. You know, you take all the Momo traders on the message boards. She's the equivalent of a whole message board for her portfolio.
And it's a benefit to her. I mean, she buys a stock and boom, EXPC, she's already up 10% in it before she even did anything. 11%.
I know.
Because everybody's just following.
Just parse what you're saying. This makes it sound so easy. And yeah, we've had a bullish rating on ARKK forever, or ARKF, the financial innovation. And relative strength is great. Money flow is great. She's getting the biggest flows, because she's got the best performance of any actively managed fund. But I mean, unless we're talking to a group of day traders here or swing traders who don't have a longer perspective, I think we're just
Okay, let's move on.
Catering to people's, you know, big.
Yeah, we're gonna have Joe Granville on next. Yeah. But anyways, Mark, I just wanted to ask you, and I've been meaning to ask you about FedEx.
I did not get that reference. I'm just gonna say.
Does anybody get
Joe Granville?
Mark does. Yeah. He's.
Everybody followed him until they didn't. Bob Prechter.
Okay, Bob. Yeah, people remember him. What about FedEx now? Is the because you said that was a poster child for the market and the economy, and it kind of diverged here. What's the Chaikin Power rating now here, and what do you think? That obviously this hasn't hurt the market at all. Market went away without it.
Power gauge is neutral. You often get weakness in December on FedEx because you get anticipatory buying in November, same way you get it in the retailers. I don't like the chart on it. I think it's got to get above the 265 level. I think that's going to be really hard to do. And it's one of the reasons that I'm looking for a very short-term top in the market here in late January.
Okay. All right. So we think you'll be a long ways up from there, but okay, that's good. I just wanted to touch on that. Anything on gold and silver? I mean, it seems like it's kind of. I mean, the charts looks like they kind of want to go, and then they don't. What's your power gauge rating on GLD or SLV, or what's your take on the metals?
My take on the metals is that they're a play on rising interest rates, and I call them the inflation trade. I'd rather buy the agricultural commodities, which have a better story, and you've got guys like Jim Rogers buying and talking about the ags. I don't think gold looks particularly attractive from a chart point of view. That 1800 level is really tough. And I'm looking at individual stocks that are going to benefit from the Biden presidency. And those have really worked out well here since January 6th, when we had the riots in the Capitol. So you've got the infrastructure plays, the solars. One of the solar stocks caught a bid this morning from Morgan Stanley recommendation, SolarEdge. I think these are the names for solar, the TAN ETF that you want to be looking at. But the infrastructure plays are my, real investment grade recommendation. Stocks like Quanta Services that we've mentioned on here, PWR, really doing well. And, PACCAR probably fits into that mode, probably by why she's buying it.
What about the way the financials have been acting to their earnings reports?
This is in line with my theme that this is going to be a sell the news earnings season for the stocks that were overbought heading into earnings season. That would really apply in spades to the financials. Good numbers from the major banks, great numbers from the investment banks, Morgan Stanley and Goldman, but a lot of anticipatory buying running into the print. And that says to me that that could be the case for other sectors as well. But the financials clearly, not just based on earnings, but based on the potential for rising interest rates, which I think may have played out already since Janet Yellen is committed to low interest rates and Powell isn't budging off a zero interest rate play. I do have a short sale candidate that ran right up to our short price that I think everybody should be thinking about, which is Zoom.
Ooh.
Zoom rallied from the 340 area to 400 based on a lot of bullish recommendations. Motley Fool, one of the big brokerage firms, recommended Zoom. I don't know if it was Bernstein. Dennis, do you remember who that was about a week ago?
No, but
let's see.
We know analysts can carry stocks for a bit, especially when they're in the gutter. They want that vote of confidence, and it got it. But it stalled out right at 400 again.
Yeah, that was where we thought it would stall out. We were looking to short, and really not short, but get out of your long positions. Because if you own this as a growth stock, the story right now, in my view, is challenge. The play in Zoom right now is broadening out into telephone services, collaborative software. I've seen so many companies that go away from their core business, think they can,
that's a good point.
go vertical, go horizontal, really, and broaden out their product suite, and it just doesn't work. It rarely works. Now, Zoom's, you know, great technology. There's competition. RingCentral is coming in with software. You guys are using new collaborative software. Zoom has become a household word, but remember the last big tech stock that became a verb? You're too old for this. It was called Xerox. I'm going to Xerox something.
That wasn't the last. That was maybe the first. That wasn't the
first
last
one. Yeah. Well, it didn't end well for Xerox. So that doesn't mean that's why you get out of Zoom. But the chart on Zoom, I see a broken angel there. It's going to take some massive conversion of free users to subscribers to change the economics here. It's selling, you know, at unbelievable price to sales and price to earnings ratios. And I just think the stock is a broken stock.
Mark, you said something earlier, you think it's going to be a sell the news earnings season. So are there any upcoming earnings reports that you maybe you're buying into the report and selling after?
I think some of these high-flying stocks like Pinterest and Digital Turbine, which are making new highs, if they do pull back, and I bought some of these ahead of the earnings, I'm still long both those stocks, and added to APPS when it traded back down to 50. Okay. But it spiked up 10% yesterday. These stocks historically, Pinterest had a huge spike of over 30% after the last quarter. That's not going to repeat itself. That's just too easy. You've got a lot of people who've noted that. But these are stocks that I would buy ahead of the earnings reports.
Sell after.
These all have neutral power gauge ratings. They were bullish. They've gotten way ahead of themselves in terms of realistic valuations. But you just have to respect stocks that make new highs here ahead of their earnings reports. Try and buy them on pullbacks.
All right, Mark Chaykin is the founder of Chaykin Analytics. You should check out that platform. They've got a pretty good power gauge rating. It gives you a nice high-level view of various factors and how they dictate sentiment and influence sentiment of the stock. Mark, thanks for the time, as always. Have a good one.
Pleasure. Enjoy, guys.
Thanks, right. Mark.
8:27. Let's talk about some of these ratings that we have today. There's a number of very influential. We talk about Kathy and Jim Cramer having influence. Well, the analysts are saying, don't forget about me. Let's start with Ford. I don't know if I've seen this. I can't remember a short-term buy list. Is that a thing? Because that's what Deutsche Bank, I believe it's Deutsche Bank, that said yesterday. They're adding Ford to their short-term buy list. I guess they
got a day trading list now.
I guess I didn't realize the analysts had short-term and long-term lists. I thought they only had one list.
Now we're adding this for a two-day buy list. We think it's going to go in the next 2 days, and you know what, our analyst call will probably be the catalyst to get this thing going is what the base is saying. I mean, Ford got kick-started, don't kid yourself, yesterday or 2 days ago by Dan Nathan on CNBC. I'm not joking. He gave it props. Dan can move stuff too. And he said that this was a catch-up trade with GM. He says he'd buy it right now. And the stock went from 10 to 10:30 in like 10 seconds after he said that on CNBC. It continued to go yesterday. And then it gets the Jim Cramer follow-through last night where Jim Cramer comes out on Ford and says that he thinks this is a big EV play for the year. I mean, we've been talking about Ford and GM being EV plays on this show for a long time. Me, Spencer, and Joel all bought this stock in the sevens because we thought that they're going to have a F-150 that's going to be electric. It's going to be a pretty good selling car. I mean, now people are starting to catch on that, hey, Ford and GM might actually be EV plays that are cheap. You know, they got, you know, cheap valuations and they're EV plays. So it's kind of like you get even, you know, in the case of GM, well, I mean, the dividends are all gone from the financial crisis, but they could reinstate those too. Don't kid yourself as the economy gets stronger here with the vaccine, you could see a reinstatement of dividends on Ford and GM too, which could pop the stocks as well. I'm not long GM. I was long for a bit. I'm still long Ford. Are you still long Ford?
I've been dancing in and out of it. And yesterday when it went through that, it had a pair of highs at 10:20 and it just looked like it wanted to go through it after the, you know, right off the open. So I just played it, but right into the close is, you know, I said, okay, that's, you know, it was thinking that it was going to have problems at 11, I thought wrong. And then what time did that that Deutsche Bank did that come out?
Gosh, let me see.
That was during the day yesterday?
It was in the afternoon. But
it was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because you could tell, I was looking at that thing, and just right after the close, I knew I was wrong to sell it. And I didn't know about the Deutsche Bank thing, but I just immediately knew that I'd made a mistake.
I don't have an exact time. I just know it was yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
I think we're giving the Deutsche Bank note too much credit because I'm telling you, CNBC is so widely watched, and it's moving stock like never before. Ford was flat when Jim Cramer said, and it's up 40 cents because of Jim Cramer last night. He said this is a full EV play, and people were like, oh, Ford. So, I mean, 10 gets 10, probably 12.50, I'm thinking now. You know, like you just think like that. Yeah, the Kenny Glick strategy. I mean, it works. So I'm long Ford still. I did sell some Ford. I had sold half of it. I actually tweeted that out a few days because I thought it was going to struggle. It looked like it was struggling at 10. And, you know, then obviously, you know, it gets the pop and the pop. So I'm already seller's remorse. You always seem to have seller's remorse when you sell anything.
Yeah, that's the market.
Are you still long it, Spencer, Ford?
I am.
Yeah, Spencer
doesn't sell.
But I bought it. No, that's not true. But I bought it because of the Bronco, right? The EV F-150. That's why I bought it. Right.
We talked about it. We all talked about it on the show. And then we all went and we all bought Ford. Because
but I didn't think it was going to go up before that. I thought whenever that F-150 comes out, that's when it's going to. So,
but the street ant looks ahead 2 years. They always say it looks 6 months. It's looking like out 2 3 years
for a day trade.
So it just needs a story, and that's going to be the story that carries it. I think there's a dividend reinstatement coming for some of these stocks too, though. As long as COVID, you know, goes, so that could be a catalyst too. So I like them both. I like Ford and GM. I'd be a buyer of pullbacks, not chasing here though. I mean, you're totally in chase mode now. These are stocks that don't move like this. GM has moved up, you know, it's up again this morning. It's moved up 20% in 5 days. I mean, this is not General Motors. It's GM. They don't move like this. But EV, Robinhood's grabbed a hold of the story now. So we're way ahead of it. We're almost too early on it. You know, we bought it and it didn't go anywhere for a while.
Since you mentioned Robinhood, my theory is that a lot of people on these new trading apps like Robinhood or Webull, a lot of people that own Ford and GM own it not because they bought it. They own it because when you sign up for the platform, you get a free stock. And a lot of people got Ford and GM. Back when Robinhood was making their data public and you could look at the most widely held stocks, Ford and GM were always near the top of the list because a lot of people got those shares for free when they signed up. I got Snapchat when I joined Webull.
How many shares do you get?
You get one
share,
right? But if there's a million people on the platform, and
they're all looking at this stock that they got,
right?
So maybe that can actually drive it too. So we need to know what stocks are they giving out over there, because those are the next ones to move.
Yeah.
The other stock that moved off of Cramer last night was the Trade Desk. I bought this stock when he started talking about it. And I sold it way too soon. I'm like, and then I'm kicking myself here now. And it's looking like it's going to get the full Jim Cramer follow through here. He said he doesn't know why Trade Desk pulled back and he'd buy it right now. And the stock is up 18 points in, you know, a little bit market effects, but not much. It's mostly up on Jim Cramer. So, I mean, it's a stock that's been in the gutter. It wanted a vote of confidence, just like CRM with Cathie Wood got the vote of confidence yesterday. Trade Desk gets the vote of confidence with Jim Cramer. So I think you could get follow through here too. I'm regretting, you know, just quickly day trading it when I probably should have just grabbed it and held on to it for a bit.
Wow.
So
look at the 8.10. I mean, I don't know how quick, you know, you had to be in that one, but I mean, look at all those highs at 8.10. It sold off hard and then it's kind of double bottom and then that was sleepy. Yeah. No,
when Cramer gives a call on a sleepy stock like that.
Oh my, yeah, form a Momo like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It can kickstart it. That's it's like an upgrade.
We're losing a little altitude here, folks, and not much. I'm not calling the top of the market, but the jobless claim. You can't do that. And Spencer, I'm just going to do. If you're under 30, you can never sell. If you're
that's the new rule.
I'm not under 30 for very long.
Okay. Well then, all right.
All right.
I wish I was under 30.
We did
try to stay under 50, Joel.
We did
those
get
50 calls. You know, they keep going up. So I don't know.
Right,
trading at the highs of the pre-market session right here, right now, 829. So you're gapping up. I mean, you're gonna have what's this high right here? If you want, I see a high 834, 840, 31. But it's just hold up. The other thing I just wanted to, you know, sometimes you can get something from these 15-minute charts, these pre-market charts, and sometimes you can't. But we talked about Netflix yesterday and how it was just holding those gains, right? And it look what it did off the open. We were looking at it in a pre-market, and it was just holding. Where's my line at?
Yeah, here? It was holding up so well that you could tell.
There it is. Here it is. Higher. It was like, And then right off the open, if you were quick, I had that line at 561.24. And folks, this is where this changes. And I think this is important that you should note this. What's that? Fuchsia? Is that what that color is?
Teal.
Teal?
Wait.
The purple one.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, let's go with fuchsia.
That is the last 15-minute bracket before the open, the 9:30 open. So that's from 9:15 to 9:30.
Oh, no, I think it's magenta.
It looks like pink to me.
Whatever the hell it is.
I call that pink.
Okay. Whatever the hell that is.
I have basic colors. Okay. You know, Roy Gabov, like the colors of the rainbow. Roy-gabove. Red, orange, yellow.
Roy G.
Green, blue,
it's Roy violet. G. Biv.
Biv.
Roy Gabov.
Did you make up a new.
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue,
it's
violet.
Not a Roy Gabov.
Is that Canadian?
My grade 9 art teacher, and obviously I don't know, I failed grade 3 art, but I didn't make it to grade 9 art. You had to take 1 year of art, and she said it was Roy Gabov. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. I remember that today. It's the only thing I took out of art class.
Roy G. Biv.
Roy Gabov. Roy G. Biv.
Oh
Roy
Gabov. Right. Real fast, I want to bring on our guest here, but we got initial jobless claims at 830, 900,000 jobless claims filed last week, which silver lining. It's lower than the week before, but, I mean, goddamn, we are 11 months into this crisis, and there were 900,000 people filing for unemployment last week. So just crazy stuff here. All right, let's bring on our guest, and let's get away from the Roy G. Biv or the Roy Gabov talk, as Dennis would put it. Buck Andrews is the co-founder of Inform. Buck, good morning. Do you know your colors as well as we do?
Excuse me?
Do you know your colors as well as we do? We don't know our colors very well.
Well, no, I don't, but my daughter does. She's an artist, so I can bring her.
Oh, then we should have her on the show and she can tell us all about magenta and cyan and fuchsia. And
she's being very good at TikTok, so, you know.
All that good stuff. All right.
Very good at TikTok.
Buck, what is on your radar here? What are you watching?
Well, you know what? It's the last few days have been kind of driven by macro events. Instead of micro events. So I think, with the election and the new administration. So there are times where, you have the macro environment just kind of takes over the micro environment. And I think big tech is a good example of that yesterday. If you looked at the 19th, Google had a upgrade from Bank of America to their US one list. So we were watching down the 19th, and sure enough, on the 20th, the thing exploded, falling on the backs of Netflix. But you also had Apple, which has moved. Google's had a pretty good move now, so it's probably a bit extended, but Apple looks like it just cleared some resistance there out of a base. So looking at that one, I think is, if you pull up the chart there, I think that's
sure.
A good one to look at.
You know what was interesting, Buck, too, yesterday was, which I didn't anticipate, was the Netflix earnings drove all the money back into like FANG. And, I did not notice, in the pre-market that happening, but that's what happened during the regular session. You saw the money flying back into Amazon, back into Apple, back into the mega caps. You know, Google had a fantastic day yesterday. I believe that's new all-time highs for Google. So this money that had been, just flying into the small little storage stocks, Netflix had the big quarter. They're like, let's buy FANG, and they were buying a hand over fist.
They were, and as you said, Google made a new high. So the question will be, how far will that extend here, like for the next few months? That will be an interesting one to watch for a longer term trade. And Apple's not far from its all-time high either. You know, if you get a day like, you know, Apple has a day like Google had yesterday, it's going to be approaching that all-time high here pretty quickly. I think it's only like $5 away or so.
Yeah, that all-time high in Apple, that actually is $138.79. And what I like to keep an eye on, too, as well as the all-time closing high, because that's where the big boys are marked. And that's $134.87, and that's
so we're pretty close to that right now, right?
The all-time closing high, yes, sir. No. Yeah. I stand corrected. $136.69. That was the all-time closing high. So we got it the next day. It was $134.87. A lot of times these stocks will make an all-time, you know, a new all-time closing high, and then the next day spend a little time above it. But then once it loses that level, you know, it sometimes it turns momentum. And that was actually the impetus for the sell-off down, like, how low did we get? 125, 126? Yeah. What else you looking at, Buck?
Well, we're looking at, you know, it's earnings season, right? So yes, you got to follow the stocks that are having earnings. And PayPal, actually, what was that? Google, Netflix yesterday was obviously driven by earnings. You know, we have, I think, resolved the issues that we had going down. It looked like that the onslaught of new signups was kicking our signup server over. And I think we've got that corrected now. And we've added some new features that actually allow you to track the earnings really easily. And if I could share my screen, I'm going to show you all how to do that really quickly. Get the screen share here.
Yeah, so Take it away. I'll stop sharing.
Maybe we can look at Intel or IBM, both of which report tonight.
Okay. Let's see.
Well, I can also grab my screen if you'd like, if that's easier. Here.
Let me I think I've got it here. Okay. Entire screen. What's happened there? Okay. All right. Can you see my screen?
Yeah, but pull up your platform because we're just seeing ourselves. There we go.
Oh, really? Okay. You know what I did there? I did its entire screen, but it didn't.
Here, I'll pull mine up. So I've got it up on my screen. So I've got IBM up.
All right. Actually, I wanted to go back to the dashboard if we could, because that is there's some nice new features on there to. All right, now you see, Spencer, see on the right side, we see this watch list.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, if you look at your impact screen, those are just all the stocks you've added, right? So the more stocks you add, the more stocks you'll follow. But if you go over to the right side where it says watch list, we've added a feature there. It should say, click on that. All right, so now click the refresh button on your browser.
Okay. Nope.
Okay.
Here, can we just go through some? I kind of want to just go through some headlines of a specific stock, if we can.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, anyway, this should work. It's not working here. It's working on my computer. We figured that one out. New feature. But that allows you to actually look at the entire universe of stocks in the Inform Global, and we've got different buttons there. Like there's a button for earnings. E1, E5, and that pulls up everything that's reporting in the next 5 days, everything that's reporting the next 1 day, and so forth. But the buttons on our system on the dashboard are quite useful. So for instance, if you hit the B on the broker rating changes, there's all the broker rating changes. You hit all, it goes back to all. And if you had a bigger universe here, you would see on your right side of where the price is, you'd see you don't see that now because you don't have a very big universe, but you might try later, you know, that watch list going to the admin, because when that happens, you get what's called an X1, X5. So it's all the stocks are doing X dividends 5 days out, 1 day out, earnings 1 day out, and earnings 5 days out. But Just keep looking for that.
Are there any stocks that you're watching that have that are reporting in the next few days We're not in the heavy part of the season yet, so really next week is kind of when the real heavy flow starts. Like bang, bang, bang. I think Apple, Amazon, Facebook are all next week, if memory serves correctly. Are there any?
Yeah, there's I'm looking down my list of stocks reporting in the next 5 days, and there's quite a few.
Is there anything that you're watching specifically?
Well, Microsoft will be reporting in the next 5 days. GE is going to be interesting because they've been in this uptrend, and they'll be reporting in the next 5 days.
So do you play these at all into the report?
Yeah. So we've been playing GE for a while. We had GE and we sold it out. So, I don't necessarily play stocks into the report. That's not something I do. What I do is I will follow stocks. I'm kind of a bit of a momentum trader. So I'll follow stocks very closely, like a Trade Desk that you guys were looking at. Trade Desk is a big momentum stock. It has got massive revenue growth and I look for stocks like that in my own trading. I'm kind of a technology growth trader. they're volatile, but I came from the futures industry, right? So it's I'll be looking at those stocks, like more of the technology side. I generally do not follow as much on the GMs of the world, but I will be watching them because we did
so earlier. Will you like buy one of these tech stocks if it dips after earnings? Like Netflix, for example. No, that's a bad example. Can you like a tech stock that like dipped on earnings? Would you buy the dip on that?
Maybe after a couple of days of consolidation, you want it to kind of come in and form a base before you do that. I wouldn't buy it the day of. I'd let it base out.
Does the same rules apply for like Netflix, which like blasted off? Would you wait?
Well, you go through cycles, right, with earnings. So, for instance, Netflix right now, could have been the last earnings cycle where things were well extended and they could have beaten their numbers, but didn't beat it by enough, and the stock could have gone down. But we're in a different cycle now, and it looks like companies are going up on earnings instead of down on earnings. So depending upon where you are, on the cycle of how these stocks have been moving and how far they've moved, that's a big indicator. The fact that Netflix went up yesterday on its earnings is a good sign. That means that the market will probably be rewarding other stocks that beat, as opposed to putting them in the doghouse if they didn't beat by enough. So I think that's a positive sign that Netflix moved upward off that earnings report.
Is there anything non-earnings related that you're watching, or is it just all now that we're here, earnings season? Are there any other drivers that you're sort of paying attention to?
We're kind of in the earnings season, and we're also driven by these macro events. I mean, there are times where your macro just takes over. I mean, both to the upside and the downside. So, at this juncture, we're really focused. We've had a short-term focus here on the macro and what stocks benefit. And there has been a, kind of a broadening out of the market, which I think Kathy Woods was talking about that. She's very positive at the market. Some of the technical guys are not so positive. They think we're quite extended, looking at the exponential moving averages. But then you have Kathy Woods in there saying, we've got a broadening of the market, which should be very beneficiary. So you've seen things like, Freeport MacMoran, for instance, has had a huge move. Lilly's had a big move, which has kind of been sitting in the background. Cliff has had a big move. So there's even the oil stocks, some of these oil stocks have had pretty good moves. So there's been quite a broadening of the market here. Ford.
Talked about that earlier.
Looking at Ford, 15 is like, what's that, like going back on your weekly chart? 15 is the high for Ford.
Like, I don't know, Joel. How far back do you have to go?
A long way.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I can't call it Found Off Road Daily anymore, right? You laugh every time I say that.
I do laugh every time you say that.
How far back four, I mean, we got to get to 14 first. Okay. 14 in mid-2016.
Yeah.
So there you go. And all we'll see what happens. Earning port 12. I see a monthly high at 12. You know, check on your – this is a big two-day move. You know, it broke out from the 1020 area. Not really not much else to say about it, though.
All right.
S&Ps are leaking here a little bit, Spencer.
Yeah. All right. Buck Andrews is the co-founder of Inform. I put that link up on the screen there, inform.info. Buck, thanks a lot.
Yeah. And just one other, just really quickly, anybody that has any suggestions, we're, you know, just getting this thing rolled out. So I'd love for you guys to bang on it. Go to the blog, you know, just write your suggestions in there. Let us know what you think so that we can continue to improve the platform. I'd call us, we're kind of like a midterm beta right now.
Midterm beta. I've not heard that before. All right. Thanks a lot, Buck.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. H50.
Triple D. Like I said, nothing alarming here, but what are you seeing? What are you seeing in the shift in the order flow?
Not really seeing, you know, like we're speaking a little bit here. One concern, like I said, the rotation, you know, was interesting yesterday because you saw a lot of those small names that, you know, had the storied stocks that have been really ripping. They did a little bit of dipping yesterday, and the money rotated back, we were talking with Buck, into Amazon, and Apple had a great day, and Google had a good day. And we're seeing that continue here this morning. You know, often I talk about the two-day move, and this is what we're exactly seeing here this morning, is continuation of like, oh, look, Netflix is starting to perk, Netflix is gone, so now Apple's perking up, and Amazon's perking up, and Google's perking up. And if we look here this morning, it's the same thing. Amazon's up another 27 points, Apple's up another 2% or 1.5% here. So you're seeing relative strength in the mega caps. So money rotating from the smaller names into the bigger names. And, you know, and it's just, it's the rotation. It's identifying that. If you identified that early yesterday morning, which I tweeted out, if you follow me on Twitter, I tried to tweet out these when I identify these rotations. I tweeted out fairly early, about 10 minutes after the open, because you could see it happening. You know, there's money to be made there from identifying those rotations. So, but we're, you know, for the S&Ps, we've leaked 4 or 5 points. I mean, it's nothing.
Like
so
nothing, right?
are we, you know, are the one concern, you know, I will say is if Bitcoin starts to break down, you will see some of these other momentum plays break down. It's not just Bitcoin stocks, because Bitcoin is, you know, the FOMO, you know, and they say, and then, you know, people start to look at their portfolio and say, well, I'm way up in the stock. Not that it has anything to do with Bitcoin, but it makes them nervous. So Bitcoin kind of led a rally here in the last month and a half. It really did. When we went from 20,000 to 40,000, a lot of these smaller names just ripping higher as full FOMO took hold. And now that Bitcoin's leaking a little bit, the market's getting a little bit nervous. But the overall market is still holding strong. It's going back to what it deems safe. So it's almost like a risk, you know, a risk off trade into FANG, which is, you know, it was something that we wouldn't have talked about 6 months ago, but that's kind of what it is. They see Apple and Amazon as stable companies that are, you know, going to be, and, you know, and that make a lot of money. And obviously, you know, the valuations are still stretched for them, but you're not paying 100 times sales for Apple. You're not paying 100 times sales for Amazon. I mean, you're paying like 4 times sales for Amazon.
So
again, retailer, different story.
So there's a flight to safety, but how
and it flies in a FANG, which is, you know, kind of incredible to think about.
But my question is, how are they getting there? Is it they're flying United? I guess not. Right?
Let's do while the S&Ps go to scratch here. first of all, if you Netflix traded,
you had I got your joke, Spencer. You had
thank you acknowledgement. Please,
the jokes have been so bad that some of them aren't even worth acknowledging here. But
thank you.
You did have a European rate decision here this morning.
Aye.
Obviously, we are leaking. Joel identified it fairly early, 5 points ago. So props to you. We continue to leak. What I think I've been taking some profits. I think we're overextended. I think we are. So, is the bull market over? Nobody knows that. You know, I'm not going to say it is or it isn't. There's no way to know that.
It's never over.
It's never over. Well, it's true. Markets went up for 100 years, so I guess it's never over. But is it time to take profits? I've been taking profits and stuff for a while. I said it off the beginning of the show. I've been trying to take off some of my swing trades and starting to lighten up because I'm somewhat nervous that we're just overstretched. We're due for a little correction. But I don't know if you're a long-term investor, if it's anything to get alarmed about.
Right, for your Netflix people out there.
Wait, Joel, real fast, can you share your charts again? Because I took them down by accident.
That's okay.
Let me go to my yard stream.
And
then after this, because you guys didn't take the bait, but I want to do UAL earnings.
And we do UAL fuel cell.
Yeah.
Before I lose my train of thought again, 586.34.
Okay.
Got to get above that. For your Netflix people gunning for, you know, we got to see 600 today. You got to get to 586.34. And right now, it looks a little tired. And the S&Ps are looking tired here. We're now down a stick. Pre-market low, absolutely nothing there to lean on if we take out that pre-market low at 40.75. Okay, United Airlines and then fuel cell.
All right, UAL, EPS on an adjusted basis, they lost $7 per share
last quarter. That's impressive.
That was below the estimate. Worse than the estimate. Sales, they made $3.4 billion. I'm just going to read you the last few quarters of EPS for UAL. Ready? They lost $7 per share in Q4. They lost $8.16 per share in Q3. They lost $9.31 per share in Q2. They lost $2.57 in Q1. That is a bad fiscal year.
Incredible.
I don't know what to say about that.
They're burning like $37 million a day. So and here's the kicker. They see themselves getting back to 2019 earnings in 2023. When? So they went out 3 years. I mean, they're just throwing, you know, you don't even know. Like, they went out two and a half years they went out to try to get back to 2019 earnings. But that's just hoping we're past the pandemic and hoping the business traveler comes back, and a lot of hope to try to get back there. And they don't know. They don't know either. So it's tough to be buyers of these stocks. I mean, on this reopening trade, what matters, again, I'm going to say it again, is does the vaccine work against the mutated strain? Because if we get the answer of no, these reopening trades are all in a lot of trouble, and we'll go right back into what was working in the lockdown, because that's where we'll be heading, especially, you know, with Biden. And, you know, obviously Canada, you know, has been very strict on this. We're in a full lockdown here in Ontario for the last 3 weeks we've been. So, I mean, this is what we are dealing with. We are not completely past this. And there was some bad news yesterday, which the market completely overlooked, but there was a study that they were talking about on the South African strain, I believe it was, that they think the mutated the vaccine may not work as well against that. So, I mean, if we start getting that news, that's your reopening trade. Get the hell out. So that's what it's waiting for. It needs to know, do we work on the mutated strain or don't we work on the mutated strain? Because COVID's mutating fast.
I mean,
way faster than the flu.
The president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, is speaking right now, and she just said that the COVID variants could require more stringent measures. So it's out there. Everyone acknowledges that.
That's why you had
your and that's what we've been talking. That is what the variant there, like the mutated strain, is a major issue for everything that's reopening. Everything. Your IWM is going to be completely linked to that, because there's so many small companies, small businesses, you know, that are in there. Obviously, you know, your tech stocks are going to perform relatively well. We know, you know, maybe it's yesterday we're giving credit to Netflix, but maybe some of it is that, you know, the people are worried about the strain. They know, hey, well, Amazon's going to do really well if we go into lockdown, because people are more prepared for this trade now. And if you get news, don't think that everything's tanking. We'll go back to the lockdown trade. Will you see stocks like Peloton, you know, maybe Zoom, but Amazon definitely, you know, benefits from a lockdown. It really does. If we're stuck in this pandemic here for, you know, another couple of years, and I sure hope we're not, because I'm sick of it. I want to get out. But if we are, Amazon benefits from that. They do. So, I mean, you'll see that rotation going back into those stocks. But I'm scared. I'm scared that it may not work against that mutated strain. That's why I don't have a lot of reopening for trades. I've got NCLH. And, you know, maybe I should be selling it here.
Yeah.
But you want to buy UAL? If you want to buy UAL on these numbers, you are saying that we are past COVID. Because if we're not, trouble.
You know what you call shoveling the driveway during a pandemic? An outing.
That's Joel's outing. That's what Joel does for excitement. You're getting outside.
He's not wrong.
Feel self.
Are you in lockdown in Michigan? Are you in lockdown?
Actually, the restaurants are reopening February 1st, aren't they?
No, that's what they said, but I'll believe it when I see it. No, I'll believe it when I see it. We're still in. I guess
a lot of money on gas. That's for sure.
Yeah. So
fuel cell
is on the upswing at the moment, but it took a dip. this morning on its earnings report. Q4 EPS, they lost 8 cents per share versus a 4 cent loss estimate, sales of $17 million, which was basically in line with what analysts were expecting.
Plug, Ballard Power, FuelCell, they all moved together. FuelCell took a long time to catch up. It finally did. It's a stock that seems to get life every once in a while, and then eventually it collapses. But I don't know. Maybe this hydrogen thing is going to carry for a while here. You got this Robinhood story going. We saw this back in 2017. It had a big move, and then it eventually went down to $2. So it's hard to just say, I'm going to buy FuelCell. It's eventually going to be a $100 stock. I don't know if that's the case. I'd like to be bearish the stock. I really would, but I'm so scared of Robinhood that I'm scared to short stocks. And maybe this is a sign of a top when you've got people who short stocks regularly, like I do, that are scared to short stocks. Maybe that is the sign that, you know, we're, you know, starting to like that everybody's starting the top. Literally, there's most people know don't short stocks. They have people like me who short stocks actively. And I'm like spooked to short anything. I'm spooked to put on swing shorts because I get punished for it. And maybe that's a sign when you're spooking out every single participant from the short side. Maybe that's a sign that we actually maybe, you know, are due for some type of correction here. So I don't know. But technicals, give us a technicals FCE.
Yeah, it had a nice dip, but it was bought. It was bought initially.
Why not? That's what they do.
And so you got, let's call it 15 and a quarter. That spots some of your pre-market lows. And you got a buck, but not three quarters of a buck. But I think if you're trading this one today, actively, you want to keep an eye on that close. Can we go green after this, you know, after it'd be a dip, you know, dipping down a buck? So you go 16.78, you clear the close, you start getting green. I don't think you see 18, and that splits the high. So first things first, I got to get green, got to clear that close in FuelCell at 16.76.
I mean, people talking about fuel cell, you know, 17 million. I don't know if those numbers are accurate, but I imagine they are. You know, 17 million in revenue, it's got $5 billion market cap. I mean, the valuations are all a joke. On all these companies, it's a joke. You can't use that metric. Eventually, that metric will matter, though. So if the story goes cold or it goes, you know, it breaks, the stock starts to break, that's when all of a sudden, you know, valuation matters. And I talk about that gap. You know, value investors are saying this is worth next to nothing. You know, so I mean, if the growth and the Momo guys don't have a hold of it, that's when stocks really have the fall. You know, that's what we saw back during, you know, 1999. It wasn't the fact, it was a story that was carrying everything. The internet story was carrying everything. And then that story went cold. And the value investors said, well, you guys are paying 100 times earnings for, you know, Cisco. It doesn't make any sense. And that's when we saw the 19-year fall. I mean, there's a lot of companies, and that's not happening here because there's a lot of companies that are trading with reasonable valuations. But when you're buying these nosebleed valuation stocks, the story has to remain intact because eventually when the story goes cold, that's when you get the big fall. And all of these stocks probably eventually have a big fall. Not all of them, but some of them, because they're not all Amazon. You know, we've got 100 EV plays out there. Well, probably 90% of these could end up zeros. You know, there's not going to be that many EV producers. So, you know, it's like trying to find which ones are going to be, you know, Tesla's going to be there. It may be Neo, but, you know, there's a lot of other ones that's from the SPAC universe that are just concepts. So you don't know which ones are going to survive. So stay diversified is what I would say is the best way to play these things. And, you know, and then you can take on anything. But if you're going all in and margining in, you know, like the callers on CNBC, you know, last week that says, I put all my money in GameStop. You know, what should I do? Yeah, I mean, This is just not the way. This is the way to blow out your account when you're just going to go all in on one thing and because the thing's hot. I mean, yeah, it looks awesome when it's going up and you got all your money in one thing, but I'm all about still safety, growing your risk with base hits, not home runs. You know, do I need to make 200 or 300 or 500% of my portfolio a year? No, I'm comfortable making really what the market's making and then doing the day trading to obviously, you know, where I make my bread and butter. But just coming in here and going all in on stocks and going 200% margin. I mean, you've got to be careful because eventually you will have an ugly fall and it's going to happen really fast.
And everyone says that type of behavior is reminiscent of 99 and the dot-com bubble and this won't end well. The one thing that I think is different, though, is that this time there are no commissions. So it really is so easy and cheap. You're
good
not
point.
Paying commission. It's easy and it's basically free. To trade, you do it, you roll over in bed and do it on your phone, right? So I just wonder, I think this can go on a lot longer than people think.
For
that reason.
We don't know, and that's why we're not trying to call a top here today.
Right.
Like we don't know if we're 1996, 1997, 1998. We just know when I'm paying 100 times sales for something, that story eventually probably ends badly because not all these companies are Amazon. So that's why my long-term portfolio, do I have Snowflake in there? Hell no. Would I put it on for a swing trade? The technicals look good, sure.
Oh, yes.
But I'm not going to, you know, that's why with BlackBerry, I'm nervous, you know, with it all the time because this isn't one of those plays to come in. And, you know, this isn't one of those plays where I'm coming in and getting hit on stocks. This, you know, isn't one of those plays that I think is like long-term going to $100. I think it's a momentum play.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm like, when does momentum cut? When does momentum? It could cut. Could it go to $20? I still held a piece. It could go anywhere. But when you're in these pure momentum plays, you can't look at valuation. You don't have that for a cushion. So the fall can be very dramatic when you don't have that to fall back on. You're buying something like Apple. Is Apple going down to $30? Well, maybe if the iPhone causes cancer. But unless that headline comes tomorrow, I don't think Apple, you know, you've got some safety behind it because there's institutional ownership here. You know, there's big hands owning these companies. There's a billion ETFs that own it. You know, Amazon's the same thing. So it's just a different animal. You're not going to make 100% a year trading or holding Amazon, but you're not going to lose your shirt either. So it's all, I guess, depends on what you want to do. You want to get rich fast, you can go on all these speculative names. Just don't get caught. They're like hot potatoes, and they eventually are going to be ugly. You know, ask the person who bought Riot Blockchain, you know, at $28 4 days ago. Now it's 19. They're not feeling that great right now. They're saying, well, oh, yeah, it's going to come back eventually. But you know what? This Riot Blockchain. Does the Riot Blockchain, Joel, have to come back? I think when the dust settles, Riot Blockchain, when we look at it 2 years from now, is probably $5 again. It's not Apple.
If I could play devil's advocate, or it could be AMD in 2016. It went from $1 to $11 in 1 year. And that was a long ways ago.
Hey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Riot Blockchain is not
Riot.
AMD.
Not Riot. I'm saying...
I'm going out on a limb here. Somebody, it's a pretty thick limb.
Dennis,
this
really
limb is like
stepping out ago. Over like
all right.
A huge
that's what
cliff.
That's why I was like, I thought he was Riot to
not
AMD.
Not Riot. I meant like. Never mind. Okay.
What do you think about that AMD chart? Just as we wrap things up here, it looks a little tired, doesn't it?
It looks awful. I'm out of AMD. I sold my long and I got on my call spread. I'm fully out. The chart does not look good. Does not look healthy. Intel is showing life. There's a direct inverse correlation between Intel and AMD.
Yeah, that spread. We've been talking about that spread originally.
Intel's getting life here again. I sold my Intel because I just think it's overdone. It's from 45 to 60. But man, maybe this continues up. I probably, you know, if you were on to buy Intel right now, it's actually where I just sold it a few days ago. I probably should rebuy it. I mean, it's right where I sold it. And I'm looking at it, and it's holding up fairly well. I
you
mean,
think
they're going to
have a great report? You think they're going to have a good report?
No.
Okay.
But is the report better than expectations?
But it doesn't matter because they have
the new CEO.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, I know. We got to get Colby back on before they're soon, Mr. Right. Howard. That was an interesting day. All right. We are really keeping trip. We're way
overtime.
Way,
great.
Way,
I gotta make some money
oh my
here.
Lord.
All right,
people don't want to listen to us.
I just want to say, upcoming on SPAC's attack later today. If you've been following ticker FSRV, they are doing a live interview with the company that is being acquired. Catapult is with the CEO of Catapult. They're the
What's
one
the symbol?
That's FSRV. Frank, Sandy, Rocky, Victor. I don't think. The R is
FinServe.
FinServe. Yep. FinServe acquisition. They're buying a company called Catapult. It's a payments, a point of sale platform. So they'll have that at 11. You can find that on youtube.com/BenzingaTV where all of the Benzinga programming is. Thanks to our guests today, Mark Chaikin and Buck Andrews. Today's show is also sponsored by Inform. To learn more, go to inform.info. Provide sentiment analysis on headlines. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this video wherever you're watching. We appreciate that. Maybe you're listening on a podcast. For those of you podcast listeners, please remember that all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Everyone, have a good rest of your trading day. We'll be back at 3:40 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, good luck and stay safe.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.